Pollution. Air pollution. Not breathing easy. A Supreme Court ruling forces the government to deal with dirty air.
British air is much clearer than it once was. In 1952, 1p super smog in London caused the deaths of around 4,000 people in a week. But it is not as clean as it could be. On April 29th, the Supreme Court ordered the next government to come up with a plan by the end of the year to reduce the amount of nitrogen dioxide, or NO2, a noxious gas produced by diesel engines in the atmosphere. The judgment could have big implications for several large infrastructure projects. It also suggests how, after years of campaigning by greener types, dirty air is finally becoming a political issue. Britain has long been exceeding limits set by the European Union on air pollution. In 2014, the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs reported that in the previous year, annual mean limits for NO2 had been breached in 38 out of 43 sites. Certain roads in London, such as Oxford Street, a busy shopping thoroughfare, have seen some of the highest recorded measures of NO2 in Europe. The health effects of NO2 have not yet been calculated for Britain, but are thought to be as potentially damaging as fine man-made particulate matter, says Gary Fuller of King's College London. A report from a government advisory group in 2010 estimated that if all fine particulate matter, which is mostly caused by car fumes and the wear and tear of tyres on the road, were removed from the atmosphere, it would increase the average life expectancy of those born in 2008 by 6 months, and for those born in London by 9 months. Despite the mounting evidence of the harmful effects of dirty air, there has been little political desire to get it sorted. Responsibility for cleaning up air pollution falls over several different government departments and may require unpopular decisions to be made about raising taxes or increasing environmental burdens on car companies. And around a third of the dirty air in Britain is swept across from Europe. Politicians could often skirt the issue by pointing out that it was a Europe-wide problem. But the ruling by the Supreme Court takes political will out of the equation, says Alan Andrews of Client Earth, the group of environmental lawyers who brought the case to the Supreme Court. The government will have to clear up the air within the next decade or so, regardless of costs. However, in the next few months, Sir Howard Davies, the leader of an independent airports commission, is expected to issue a recommendation on where to expand airport capacity in the southeast. The court ruling adds a potential black mark to the case for expanding either Heathrow or Gatwick, Sir Howard's two potential options, says Matthew Farrow, the executive director of the Environmental Industries Commission, an industry group. Levels of NO2 are already above recommended levels around Heathrow, which is next to a busy motorway, and are expected to rise at Gatwick even without another runway. It could also delay plans for a new bridge in East London. This means the next government will have to make some swift decisions about clearing up Britain's dirty air by introducing several low-emission zones to reduce the number of diesel cars and the like. Measures to cut air pollution have been taken before. In 1956, after the smog in London, the government pushed through a Clean Air Act, banning coal fires in people's homes. That decision was prompted by a crisis. The reasons for pushing through this reform may appear to be less dramatic, but they are no less important.